Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting at the roundtables with mothers and daughters around the world. As we sit this morning, looking out, what a peaceful morning. I like to sit. I look out of my windows, literally, three walls of windows. And it's just absolutely beautiful sight. The world looks so calm, but yet there's so much chaos going on. And that's one of the blessings when you just trust God and sit back and know that He's got it. You have to see the good. You just have to see the peace that's around you. That's our saving grace. To the switchboard before I get into my stuff this morning. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you this morning? Good morning, audience. Good morning, Miss Deborah. How are you guys?
I am just fine. Miss Deborah's not on.
Good job.
Good job.
Good morning,
Miss Deborah's
everybody.
I got you.
Good morning,
Miss Deborah. How are you? Miss Deborah,
I'm hanging in there. I tell you, God is good. I'm up and moving.
That's,
amen.
Isn't that wonderful? That's
up
all we got right now.
Up and moving.
Yeah. Well, you moving enough to give us the prayer?
Yes, ma'am. For waking us up, we thank you for giving us breath in our body. We thank you for the able limbs. We thank you for all our senses, whatever's working good, what ain't. We thank you for all that. We thank you. We just thank you, Lord, for life. Lord, we ask you right now that you and be ahead of us and guide us, lead us to have your way. Give us what you need for us today, not just for the audience, but for us, Lord. Touch your people. Your people are listening. Help us as you promised, Lord, so he may live. I trust in you. We thank you for using us. We thank you for giving us what you give us. We thank you for all that you do for us. We ask that you will have your way in Jesus' name today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, it is a beautiful day. Got up this morning, and I was telling Cynthia yesterday that Cynthia said it first. She said, tomorrow is Saturday, and I said, yes. It seemed like it was just Saturday 2 days ago. I mean, it's just like we just was on the radio. I don't want to say time's flying by because I don't want to give it that kind of definition, but whatever you're doing, you better be doing it quick because you really don't have time to waste. You really don't have time to waste. So we'll catch up. We're going to say one good thing that happened to us last week. What's good happened in your life last week, Cynthia?
Oh, caught me off guard. What good happened in my life last week? If I had to pick out one thing, it was being on Skype with my two sons. Zoom, with my two sons. If I had to pick one thing out, I would say that was the icing on the cake for me. being able to sit and have a discussion with them at an adult level, and we talk for over an hour.
Very good. That's a blessing, because that's what you were missing.
Amen.
What you wanted.
Amen.
And it was Mother's Day, and I mean, you know, you got a son in California, and one that's what 6 hours away from you, and then you have one 5 hours away. You can always get to the one 5 hours away, but it makes it very difficult to get to the one 6 hours. So I know that was like joy to your soul, being able to do
it
that.
It was.
Deborah.
Well,
you had to pick one thing from last week.
One thing from last week, I'm going to follow Cynthia's suit. I spent time with my mom, matter of fact, probably from 10 to 7, a whole day, because they blessed me with a day off, told me to take a mental health day. And my mental health was go see my mama. And I had a lovely day, lovely day. I felt
great.
Like a little girl again. She asked me to put the hair dye on her hair. And so I remember I used to do a hair when I was 12 years old, and it just took me back. It was just a beautiful feeling.
Wow. You know, I wrote something this week, and I sent it out, and I can't believe, well, I won't say I can't believe, that the reaction to that post was just amazing. People that I haven't seen and talked to in 10, 15 years was responding to that post, and I was like, wow, just a little word, and it was basically talking about mothers and daughters cannot, you're having difficulties being in the same spot and getting along, and that's one of the questions that they asked me on the radio shows in the last, what, maybe 3 weeks. I've probably done about 15 radio shows, and it's always back to what happens with mothers and daughters, well, you know, how are they dealing with the coronavirus, and so I told them that in this little note, message, I guess you would say, to go back and pull the pictures. Just pull out a bunch of pictures and lay them out. Because, you know, pictures, they say, can say 1,000 words or something like that. And so go back and pull those pictures out when y'all get a little upset and tired and look at the pictures and then just think about as many things that happened during that time period. Things that just will make you laugh and bring back that moment. Because, see, your mind can go right back to that moment as if it happened. Because the subconscious mind has these things already in your subconscious mind, and it's willing to draw it up. That's why you can meet someone and a hatred feeling toward that person, it'll just pop right back up in your mind. You're like, I thought I had settled that. No, you didn't, so it pops right back up. So that joy that you have is in your subconscious mind. When you see those pictures, it'll pop it right back. And just do that. Look at them, laugh, and hug, and then put that one down and do another one. And before you know it, you'll find that joy and peace in your heart, and your space won't seem so tight, because then you have traveled in your mind back in a distance to a place where you all were having fun, and you can recapture those moments. So that is what I hear when I heard you say, I was fixing her hair as a 12-year-old. You just converted right back in your mind to that 12-year-old fixing your mother's hair. And in spite of all the things that happened between that time and now, it's the joy was still there. That's amazing. Well, if I had to pick one thing, there were so many things that happened, but I'm going to do like you guys. It's not about what's happening business-wise. It's not about the conversations I've had, any of the work. I'm going to go back to my children coming in spite of me telling them, don't do anything. I don't need them to do anything. I don't need anything for Mother's Day. I'm fine. We have Mother's Day every day. That's the way I look at it. And don't do anything. And I called my daughter and I said, don't, because she said, Mom, I was going to TJ Maxx and the lines was out the door and around the corner. And I thought, oh, no, I can't get in that line. And at that time, my spirit said, Angie's trying to go buy you a Mother's Day gift. Call and tell her you don't want her to do that. So I called. She said, I just pulled off. I said, Mom, my spirit told me that's what you were doing. So don't go get me anything. I said, I don't need anything. When this is all over, we're going on a vacation. So I'm thinking everything's cool. And then all of a sudden, I'm trying to get on this radio program for Mother's Day morning, and I can't reach my children. And I was getting a little upset because we talk every morning. And I called my grandson, and he always answered, didn't answer. I called my other grandson. He didn't answer. I called my son-in-law, who really always answered because his phone is connected to his, to the work that he does. I said, something is wrong. And I'm in a building that you can't even get in the elevator without a fog. So I didn't have no idea. And all of a sudden, my youngest grandson texted me and said, open your front door. I'm like, open my front door. I thought, surely they mean let them in the garage. I said, but they said open the front door. I opened the front door. They had managed to get inside the building and had hung this big, gigantic trophy, world's greatest mom, on the door, had flowers at the door, and they were standing back across the hallway with their mask on. And at first I screamed and hollered because I was opening the door real cautiously because I didn't know if that's what they really meant. And then all of a sudden they were all standing out there. So that to me was my greatest moment because I really wanted to see them. And it just did something to me. This distancing is not working well with me, but I'm doing the best I can with it like everybody else. But when you get those moments, it just touches your heart, you know? So I videoed it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I videoed it. But I'm going to say this, then I'm going to go back. We're going to get back on track. I was looking at a video somehow on Facebook, one of those, as I was thumbing through, and this lady built this plastic wall out of PCP pipe, I think it is, and she had these long gloves attached to it, the gloves that you use for animals. They go all the way up your shoulders. And she attached that, and she had four children. One looked like he might be about 12, and a little girl like she could be about 8 or 9, and then there was another one looked like she might be about 5 or 6, and there was a little one in the playpen in the yard. She looked like she could have been maybe going on 2. And they had called Nana, and Nana was coming, and they went up the street. Undoubtedly, you know, they went to the curb, and they was waiting to see when she was coming. Those little kids was just waiting. They said, here she come, here she come. So the lady was videoing it. And they was like, Nana's coming, Nana's coming. Well, you know, my grandkids call me Nana. And so that touched my heart. They was running back to get in line because she'd already told them, now you have to stand on this side of the plastic. Nana going to be on the other side. And she's going to stick her hand in these gloves, and then she's going to hug you. And, boy, when she pulled up, the little baby in the playpen was jumping up and down, and everybody was hollering, na, 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 na. And that thing, when she hugged those kids, that to me just really touched my heart because I've got, I like to hug my kids. And those kids were so used to getting hugs from their nana that they was just fighting, it's my turn, it's my turn. I need another one. And I just thought, that's the way my grandkids and I used to be. So that was another defining moment for me. And I've been playing it and looking at it. I sent it to my daughter, and I said, this brings back the Nana in me to see that we can do creative things to get that hug that we need. And that's what I need. I need that hug because I'm a hugger. So I told AJ, I said, we're going to have to figure this out because I miss hugging my great-grandson, and I miss hugging my grandsons, and I miss hugging you. And so we're going to figure this plastic thing out so I can get a hug, and that I think that'll help me for a few more days. Anyway, I'm blabbing on and on and on. That's my take for the weekend. So other than that, go ahead, somebody want to say something?
No, I was saying amen.
Yeah, it's the little things. That's what I'm looking at this morning. I didn't plan to ask you all that question. I didn't plan to have this part of the conversation. It just hit me as we were talking. You know, it's the little things that we can do that makes all the difference in the world. It don't have to be something big. You know, like Cynthia said, just being on Zoom with her son, that filled a spot in her heart that I know for a fact that she wanted to talk to Brian. You know, she wanted to see Brian. And you say, well, why didn't she do it before then? Sometimes we just don't think, you know, and then all of a sudden it hits you. And then you got to give you what you need to feel that spot that you're longing for, that little thing that you're longing for in your heart. So it's a little thing, but we're going to make it through this. We really will.
Amen.
All right, ladies, what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk about our subject matter for the day, and then I'm going to come right back.
Okay.
Thank you, ladies. All right, I know, audience, that was a lot of personal, but, you know, that's all I can share with you is my personal piece. And that's from my heart. One thing I didn't do, and all the talking that I was doing, I didn't really bring up my a piece of my program this morning, but it's okay. Just bear with me for a moment. And we'll get that done. Again, good morning. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie here on Blog Talk Radio, Mother-Daughter Roundtable with mothers and daughters around the world. We just had a brief conversation with my co-host, Cynthia Oliver and Deborah Tyler. And we're just talking about the one thing. You know, there's so many good things happened last week. We're not trying to just throw everything else to the side. No, just one thing that popped into your mind, and that was the one thing that popped into their mind, and it popped into my mind. It's amazing that we had the same pop-up of thought, and it was dealing with our Mother's Day experience. Because one thing about it, you cannot get past the mother in you, wanting to see your child, wanting to hold your child, wanting to be close to someone that you love, which is your mother. That was our little take on that. A stimulating topic this morning, and I'm gonna have to do a couple things here. I have to go back to the switchboard because I did not fill out my little form this morning. And here we go. A stimulating topic this morning is mothers and daughters. Don't let coronavirus steal your peace. Have faith in God. That was the message that came to me this morning. Because when you're in the midst of conflict, when you are fussing and arguing and disagreeing with each other in a small space, I don't care if you have a 6,000 square foot home, a 10,000 square foot home, that home becomes very small. Just think if you got a 1,200 square foot home, it becomes very small when there's tension in the air. No matter what part of the house you're in, the tension is still roaming around in your energy wherever you go within that house. Makes it very, very small. We know what we're dealing with. We know there's a virus out there. I call it a plague. I call it an attack of the enemy. He's trying to use it to destroy, to kill, and to steal. But then God's going to turn it around for his good. So no matter what you're going through, we don't have a vaccine. So if we don't have a vaccine, there's nothing physically you can do about it. Why not go to the Spirit? Why not just go to God? And what I do, I just say, God, you know, I pray and I said, Lord, you know, if we had something that we could do, we would do it, but we don't. And we're not allowed to have anything because God hasn't said yes to it yet, to really spend some time with God. He's our Father. He's our Creator. He knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts before you can even think them yourself. He knows what decisions you're going to make, and he will prepare ahead of you because he knows what decisions you're going to make. Nothing is a surprise to God. When I look back at the 1916 virus where 50 million people were killed or died, really, think about it. until we got into this situation with coronavirus. And they was going through the same identical situations. They were told to wear masks, do not come outside without a mask. They were told to go home, stay in their homes. But then there was a group of people decided, no, I'm tired of staying inside. I want to come outside. You know, you can't tell us what we can do. You can't hold us hostage. We have freedom. I'm just paraphrasing here. And so they came outside, started doing the things. They opened back up early, started doing what they wanted to do. But then it caused the chaos, and 50 million people died. This looks very close. It's painting the same picture. God forbid. But if we could just, I know it's rough. I know. I can only imagine a mother in there. You're laid off from work. You got to feed your children. You got to pay your bills. I was talking to a mother this week. She can't, she's paralyzed in her thoughts because she doesn't have a paycheck coming in. She does have food coming in, but she's worried about the bills. And I was telling her, you know, I know it's hard, but out of all of it, I mean, we have to trust God. There is no one else to trust. There's nowhere else to go. We have got to trust God. So this, it's no time to try to figure it out on your own. You can't figure it out. It's not for you to figure out. God is wanting you to say, God, I can't do this. I need you. Just as sure as he told the widow to give Elijah her last son and they were going to die, give it to the prophet. Trust me. Do what I asked you to do, and I'll take care of you. Now, you know that was hard. She's hungry. Her child's hungry. And here's a stranger come walking up and saying, but give me, bake that last cake for me. She could have said, well, we're going to die anyway. You can have it. She said, but this is all I have. He said, yeah, but if you give it to me. See, he let her know, if you bless me, God's going to bless you. Now, that took a lot of faith. To a stranger she didn't know. She baked that bread, and she gave it to him. 3 years, they were overflowing. When things look real strange, and you can't put your hands on it, and you don't know where to go, just stop, be still, and know that God's got it. Why wouldn't you know that? God created the heaven and the earth, and why wouldn't he take care of you? If he didn't want you on this earth, he could just call you home. Why would he have you here? Why would he allow you to go through this demonstration? He's saying, trust me, just like the children of Israel. The Israelites, they didn't want to trust God. Even though Moses was telling them all that he could tell them, Moses trying to figure the thing out himself. He's hearing God, and he's just in disbelief. Come up to the mountain, Moses. I need to talk to you. Where, God? Up to the mountain. Just keep coming on up. Because I need to talk to you. I need you to tell them this. And even God said to Moses, I hear them complaining. Don't they know I hear them? What do you think I am? I hear every word that you say. I hear every thought that you think. I'm here. But tell them this. And even when he came down with the Ten Commandments, they had built an idol god. Because they didn't have time to wait on Moses to come back. They thought he had disappeared. They hadn't seen him. They didn't know what had happened. They said, you know what? We've taken things in our own hand. Bump him and his god. We're going to do our own thing. They built it out of God. When he came out, he was like, what in the world have you all done? Aaron was in on it. But he came back with the message. We got to have patience. We can't let the coronavirus steal our peace. And the only way you can get peace is that you get it from God. You can't buy it at the store. It's not going to come from Walmart. It's not going to come from the TJ Maxx. They ain't coming from Marshalls. They ain't coming from JCPenney. It's not coming from any of these stores. You can't order from Amazon, where most people think they can get anything. But you can only get peace from God. And until you come and ask, I would suggest you come and repent. Because don't say you don't have nothing to repent for. We all can repent. Anytime you go before God, you should repent in the name of Jesus just to get yourself clean to be in his presence. Who are you to just walk up to the throne kind of way? Clean yourself up before you go. Go to Jesus and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Ask him to prepare you to speak to the Father. You're talking about God. You come to the throne of mercy when you get on your knees and you bow. You're going before God who has Jesus sitting beside him. You don't come any kind of way. But when you come and you come correct, you're going to receive what you ask for. So don't try to get peace from your friends and your family and whomever you think is your best buddy. They don't have it. And if you notice, they're trying to figure out peace for themselves. There ain't but one peacemaker, one peace creator, one peace giver, and that's our Father God. And once you get peace going on in the world, you'll see it, you'll hear it, but it will not touch your dwelling, meaning your body, your 3 feet radius around you. That's your world. That's where wherever you go, it goes with you like a light shining down on you, and you're in the center of it. You see what's going on, but you have a peace. You have a trust. And Mark 11:22 says, in God. That's the only thing going to get us through this. We got to believe God. Surely you're not believing Satan. You see the destruction. You see what he's doing. But it ain't for two forces. There's only one power. Satan don't have power. There's only one power, and that's the power of God. Satan gets to steal his power from your energy. Satan is like someone stealing power from Duke Power, the electric company. They don't have any power in their house. How many times you've heard people say, and they go and they can tap into somebody else's power and get some juice to light up their house. That's all Satan does. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to doubt. Because when he can get you to doubt, then he can steal power from you. And that gives him something to operate on. But if you don't give him that power, that access to power to you, cannot. If you don't accept what he's bringing, he has to leave. Doesn't mean he won't come back. But you're still going to be right there at that door. No. Get from around here. Don't come around here with that nonsense. You cannot come here. There's no room here. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost Spirit, and there's no place for you in my house, in my mind, in my conversation, in my words, in my thoughts. There's no place for you. You can't stop the coronavirus. Only way you can do that is that you got to go to God. There's no way of getting around it. Jesus is the key that's going to unlock the door. You can't go around the back door. You can't go through the side and try to slide in a window. You can't do any of those things. He told you. The only way you're going to get to him, you got to come through me. Now, you can choose not to believe that if you want to, but I do. Because I think if anybody hung on a cross and took the pain and suffering that Jesus took, a man, a human man walking around with nothing but power and authority of God, but he still was a human on this earth. He felt that pain. He suffered. And then you won't believe it? What more can he do? What else can he do to prove to you that I did this for you, Bessie? I didn't come to save the world. I came to save you in your name. And he hears me just like he heard you. So if you got fear, if you're stressing out, mothers and daughters, sit down, get your book, the Bible, and you just go through. Just open it up anywhere, I would say, in the New Testament, John, Matthew, and just read all the red letters. Just read what Jesus said. There's a comfort there. I even go on Google and just print up all the red letters of the Bible, and I just read what Jesus said. Without their story, without their input, just what did Jesus say? And that in itself will let you know what God said. And that will build your faith. You didn't create yourself. You didn't send yourself on the earth. So you know there's someone else above you. You know there's someone else created you. Come on, just think about it. Think it through. Some people say, well, you know, I don't believe there's a God. No, I don't believe there's. I don't understand where to get it from, and I'm not here to defend that or condemn it. All I'm saying, if you just think logically and do the processing, you know that someone created something that led to you. He placed you here. He have you here at this time. For a purpose. There's a plan and a purpose in his vision. And we have to trust him that whatever happens in our life in this time, God allowed it to happen. It was his will for our life. And there's nothing else you can do about it. Even if you don't trust him, even if you don't think it's a God, there's nothing you can do. You can't change one hair on your head. You can pull it out, another one will grow. You can't heal yourself. If you cut your arm, you can band-aid it up all you want. You can try to stitch it up, but it's going to heal up anyway because the body's designed to heal if you don't even touch it. You can't make a flower, a tree. You can't create a stone or rock. You can't create water, wind, the sun, the moon. Think about it. That same creator created you. So why wouldn't you trust them? You trust your mother and daddy here on earth. If your mama told you something here on earth, you believe your mama. Why wouldn't you believe God? She is God. She didn't create herself. God created her. So like he created you, he sent you through her. You belong to him. So I'm saying all this for you to provide me with food. I'm asking you to make sure my lights are not off and that we can stay in our place and our bills are paid. I'm asking for you to do that. And some people say, well, I've been asking and asking and asking and he hasn't been doing it. No, you're asking, but you're not believing because he's not a man that can lie. He said, whatever you ask and believe in your heart, you shall receive. Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Read those. If you believe that, then it has to happen. Or then that God has lied and he cannot lie. Stand on. I said, God, you cannot lie. So if you said it, it's going to happen. But we get into these conversations with Satan in our intro conversations and trying to debate with Satan about what we can and what can't happen. And God ain't going to do this. And he's trying to tell you like he knows something. God, Satan don't know anything. And God ain't going to tell Satan nothing to tell you. But you got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ in order to get to this. And when you get it,
You'll walk around with your head up and your shoulders back. You will have no fear. I'm not going to walk around fearful because I believe him. God would have to show me something different because I believe he's going to do what he says. God is still God. He's going to do what he's going to do with or without coronavirus in the atmosphere. God has not stopped blessing us because corona is roaming around. God is not doing what his will for the earth because corona is moving around. You think corona is going to stop God? Satan wants you to think, well, now you can't get blessed. Now you don't have no job. Now God ain't what God doing now. God is still God. Kingdom still operate. It's a kingdom business, and it's never going out of business. So you need to get employed in the kingdom of God, and you'll never not work, be out of work, if you want to call it that. You'll always be employed when you are employed in the kingdom. That's the dynasty you want to be in, the kingdom of God. There's always something for you to do, and there's always a reward for you, and you never want for anything. She's got to trust in you. Cynthia?
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, Dr. Fletcher, you said so much in such a small amount of time with regards to, you know, when we get in the habit of doing for God and working for God, like you said, we'll never be unemployed. And if we are totally, totally depending on a paycheck and not depending on God, these are some of the things that we miss. We miss that God is almighty. It all belongs to him. We miss that he's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He gave you that job. He can do whatever he wants with allowing you to keep it or take it away from you. He's awesome. He's passionate about your life and what he has for you. But he wants you to be able to trust him in it all. Not in, because we are supposed to be triumphing in it, not after it happens, not when things are over, not when God moves you. If you just learn to trust him while we're in it, he will deliver us out of this plague in his own timing. He will exalt us even in the midst of it, not in spite of it. He is faithful. He is forgiving. He's glorious. He's God all by himself. So I'm reminded of a question that I saw on Facebook. A college student asked the professor, why do you say God is good? And it was relating to the fact that evil things place on this earth, and they started to mention all of these evil things that take place. Yes, you can look at this plague and say it's evil, but it's all perspective. If you have gotten in the habit of trusting God and his attributes and his character, then you won't see it as evil. You'll see it as part of a bigger plan. It is hope in this thing. There's healing in this thing for our souls. That's where we need to heal. Yes, those who will be affected by it, and nobody knows who is going to be affected by it. But there is hope in it despite what God allows, because God will heal, whether it's on this side of heaven or on the other side. We just have to trust his attributes. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He's the judge of all the earth. He knows when we complain, as you said. And God is like, he's just looking for us to find the goodness and the peace in this thing, because that lets him know that we're trusting him, because he tells us in 1 Peter, be anxious for nothing. He don't want us overly concerned about anything. And one of the points that you made came out of Exodus 25, 26, 35, and through 40. What is God like? all of those attributes that I just mentioned, and there's so many others that we can find in this thing called Corona. There's forgiveness. There is so many things that we can find if we just look beyond our anxiety, because that's what's driving that behavior and those complaints. It's the anxiety of being in. It's the anxiety of not being able to see beyond where you are. And so when we get in the habit of just looking at God, even God is inside with us. But you got to know that he's present, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere at the same time. And so when we get in the habit of just knowing that God is with us, we learn to be content in whatever he allows. He's merciful. He's righteous. He cannot lie. He's our rock. People be saying, well, she's my rock. And really? No, God is your rock. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to be your rock. You know? And so it's just so many attributes that we can look at that relates to God to show that his goodness. And so why do we say God is good? Because of his attributes, because of who he is. He's majestic. He is Lord of lords. And we miss that when we're looking at the circumstances around us. We don't look at the circumstances the possibilities, I guess I'll put it that way. There's so many possibilities that we can walk away with in this thing if you just look beyond where we are. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Very good.
And the most important one I left out was that he is wise. He knows what he's doing.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Good morning. Wow.
Yeah, Jeff.
I tell you, I was sitting here listening, and I was so into what you were saying till I said, I'm just going to be a listener this morning because this is good stuff here. I'm just thinking they always come and just top it off and be like, I ain't got nothing to ask you there. Lord, just let me listen this morning. But he won't let me listen. He just was telling me that, you know, and it speaks about when Jesus and the disciples was on the boat, and Jesus said, I'm gonna go paraphrase it. It's in Mark 4. It's in Mark 4, I think 37. We 36 to like 40, and he was telling them to have, you know, to have faith. He had been preaching all the time to have faith and doing all these great things. So they get on the boat, and then Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go take a nap. Now, the disciples started seeing the wind. They started looking at it, and it was looking like it was going to be a situation, and it was something to be concerned about. And then they got so fearful, they forgot who was on the boat. Jesus said, if you on the boat with me, am I going to drown? Mm. Just look at who you're on the boat with. Are you on the boat? That's the question. Are you on the boat? Do you have the faith? Is you connected to the vine? Because he says that if you connected, that you could do great things. And he didn't say trial and tribulation will come. He said, but if you connected, I'm going to go through it with you. So he on the boat with them. Now, he's not going to drown because of God. He controls the wind, the water, the ocean, the waves, the sharks, the situations, the viruses, the plagues. He controlled all of that. He said, but who are you on the boat with? And he said, to the wind, peace. And the disciples looking like, oh, my God, even the wind obeyed. Who is this matter of man? Who is this? So it's do you know who you're serving? Do you know what he's capable of doing? I'm not saying that there's no concern in my heart about the coronavirus, because there's a concern, but there's no phobia, there's no faith. I mean, there's no fear, there's no, you know, because I keep saying, Lord, you got me, you got me. I'm on the boat with you. We ain't going to drown. We might feel the boat rocking a little bit, might feel the waves if you ever been on a little boat or whatever. You feel it.
But God is saying, if you trust and you believe in me, if you anchored in me, if you just know who you on the boat with, the great I am, who am I? He said, tell them I am whatever they need me to be. And God is saying, fill in the blank. You need me to be your peace, your healer, your sustainer. And talking about sustainer, God already paved the way. He already told the government, y'all ain't going to evict nobody. Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't going to take nobody's car. Y'all ain't going to take their insurance. Y'all not going to be charging them because I'm putting all that on hold. 9 days. He already made a way. He already said you can't be talking about get your stuff and get out, taking people to court, putting them on the street. He already made a way. He got food distributions all over the country. Everywhere you look, you can get some food. He already made a way. He said, have you not seen what I've made in the midst of what you're going through? You ain't going to go home with it. Just give it some patience and go stand in the line for 2 hours and get what you need for the day. Like he felt, he fed the Israelites, gave them manna. He said, get enough for the day. You get too much, it's going to spoil. Don't be greedy. Just get enough for the day. For who's to say if tomorrow you will be on this side? Get enough for the day. He's making provision. There's so many food distributions around this country. People just willingly giving their time and talent and treasures to help somebody else. We send so much love. God said, this is how it should always be. People should always be helping people, not I'm way up here, you down there. He's just allowing us to practice how it need to be forever. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, got to be
mm-hmm.
repent, you know, get back in line. If you ain't never been on the Lord's side, get on the Lord's side. He said, if you don't have a problem, you'll never know I can fix it. You don't never have a situation, you never know I can bring you through. He said, testimony. You can't spell testimony without the test. So it's T-E-S-T-I-N, test in moaning. So we moaning in our thoughts. But when we finish, we're going to put it all together. It's going to be a testimony how we made it over. He said, do you believe that I'm able to do that thing? Do you believe? It's about do you believe that I'm able to keep you even if you get it? Do you believe that I could bring you back? And then you can tell them how I fed you, how I saved you. You ain't saying because you believe and you're on the boat, you ain't going to have no trouble. Because you believe you're on the boat, you ain't going to catch the virus. Because you believe you're on the boat, you ain't going to have some difficulties. He said, if you believe that I'm with you, that I go through the fire with you, I'll take you through the situation, and I'll carry you when you can't carry yourself. And you'll look back and say, how I made it over, I carried you through. And then that's your testimony to tell somebody else that might be facing that test at another time in your life, tell them how he carried you through. So I remember when I was in a situation like that, and my marriage and my kid and my daughter was acting crazy, but I gave it to the Lord. He brought me through. Now look at our relationship. Tell them. So he said, don't be ashamed about where you've been and what's going on in your life. He said, because truth be told, people know your business all the time anyway. You think it's in the family. It's all down the street. People know. He said, but I need my glory, so you need to tell the story, ugly as it may be. Is it about you looking good or is it about me getting my glory? So tell the story. Tell them how you came through. That's what God said. I want to give you the peace in the midst of the storm. I want to give you peace that the world can't give you, peace that the world won't understand. How you got peace and all this still going on because you on the boat with Jesus. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the boat with Jesus.
Wow, I tell you, boy, that's three different sermons this morning. If they don't get something, then I don't know what to say, because that is exactly, you know, I can't even remember what all I said, to tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit just started speaking. But from that, since he came back with who he is and how good he is, and then you came right back and showed him up, you know, being on that boat. And even when they were on the boat and Jesus came walking across the water, and Peter was like, Master, if that's you, bid me come. And he said, come on. And he was like, and everybody else could probably say, you know, man, you what? Come on. And he just started walking. Just, you know, you could see a little kid walking for the first time. Just take off walking. Until what? He looked around. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at the coronavirus. You know, I get up in the morning, I listen maybe midday. I try to catch something and do, you know, I'm praying all along, but, you know, I just feel like I need to connect to see what's going on. I'll cut it on, turn it on the news for a moment, and then it just gets to me. I turn it off and I pray. In the afternoon, I listen to Don usually late in the evening. He does a wrap of whatever went through for the day, and then I pray. Because I look at those numbers, and if you look at too much and see all the bodies that are in refrigerator trucks and stuff like that, it would just overwhelm you knowing that those are somebody's mothers and brothers and fathers and sisters and cousins and friends, that it's overwhelming. And if you are not connected to God, as you can say, Deborah, if you're not on that boat, people won't be able to take it, and that's what's happening now. It's something in the atmosphere. It's that negative energy, that fear that's just traveling. Satan's trying to hold on to the wind so he can go fast, and people are not being able to realize what's going on, why they're acting the way that they're acting, why they can't get along, and why are they under such pressure, because they really never had to face themselves. They really never had to sit down and look into each other's eyes and be in each other's presence for more than 15, 20 minutes. Most of them running in and out, get a meal. One young lady said that they're not used to eating in the same place, because most of the kids get their meal and they run in the bedroom. And the parents, they one at the desk eating, and the other one in front of the TV eating, and, you know, it's just never, ever coming together. Now they're having to come up with little creative things, and I think it's the best bonding techniques that can happen at this time. Because as I look through social media, which has forced me to look at social media, I'm like, wow, it done drew me to social media, and I'm looking at some of the things that they're doing. And people are doing some of the most unique things together. They're working with their children together. They're doing homework. They're feeding, they're cooking and doing things that they wouldn't do. And God is showing them, this is what I want you to know. You have a family. Appreciate your family. Get to know your family. So I believe this whole coronavirus experience, I really do. I really don't want to be who I was before. I want my heart to change. I want the way I look at people to change. I want my love to shine. I want people to see God in me. I just want all of us to come out of this with the love that when we look at each other, we don't get that ego of, because I have two more dollars than you, I'm better than you, that they realize life is a gift from God, and he can give it and he can take it at any time. So none of that makes you any better than anybody else. So this, we're all in it together. I hope that spirit of really of what it means, we're all in it together, live beyond the coronavirus. What a better place we'll have. Anybody got any final words you want to say, Cynthia? Y'all there?
No, I'm good. I'm here.
Does anybody have anything you want to say?
Well, I'm sorry. I had you on mute. I apologize. But Deborah was talking about being in the boat. And the thing that came to mind was the visual of Jesus. He was sleeping on the boat. And all of the turmoil, he was sleeping. And so he was on the boat in one scenario, in one scripture, and then he came to the boat in another scenario and bidded Peter to walk. Is that really you? Bid me to walk. So God, so the question you can ask right now, if it's really you, Lord, bid me to come to you. If you're really real, if you really are who you say you are, bid me to come to you. And so it is this time that we need to stop and ask the Lord, is it really you? If it's you, ask me to come to you. Let me know who you are. Show up and show out for me, because can you imagine how, in the scripture it talks about how fast Jesus came to that boat. It was like he was on a jet ski or something, how he got there so quickly, because they looked up and they saw him and he was right there. And so God is right here. He's telling you, I'm right here. I got you. Don't fear not. You never have to fear, because I'm near. He's right here with us, guys, in this, inside your space. And all you got to do is just choose to trust him. Take your eyes off of Corona and put it on Jesus. Put it on God, who's in control of Corona. Jesus even controls the winds and the waves. He sleeps in the storm. So if he can sleep, you can sleep without all the worry and the anxiety. I got a call from my sister, and she was saying that she's in the hospital, and all of her issues stems from anxiety and fear, all of the abdominal stuff she's had over the years. If you don't find a way to put that stuff to rest, you'll be in and out of distress. And God said, we don't have to. Bring all things to him in prayer. And once you bring it to him, we have to learn to stand on it, trust it, know that he is who he say he is. As Dr. Fletcher said, he cannot lie. But it's all perspective. If you're going to trust him, trust him. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What a great show. As this air out, as people listening to it, I'm going to ask you to forward this and share it with other platforms, and, you know, just because it's a message that we need to hear. All of us need to add something to the conversation, and this is our part of the conversation to mothers and daughters, to families, fathers and sons. When we speak to mothers and daughters, we're speaking to the whole family, because every human being that was born on this earth came through a woman, which became their mother. So when I say mother, I'm talking about the entire family. That's it. There's no division, no divide. All right, ladies. It was a good show. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, ladies, thank you very much. I wouldn't want to do it without you. I appreciate you.
Amen.
God bless you, and you all have a great week. I love you guys. Bye-bye, audience. We love you.
Bye-bye. Bye, audience. Love you guys.